Let's read together Psalm 68. This psalm is a triumphal march song, which celebrates Israel's travels from Mount Sinai to Mount Zion and anticipates the Lord's ascension and second coming. Let's begin by reading the first six verses of this psalm. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let those also who hate him flee before him, as smoke is driven away. So drive them away, as wax melts before the fire. So let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yes, let them rejoice exceedingly. Sing to God, sing praises to his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds by his name, Yah, and rejoice before him. A father of the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy habitation. God sets the solitary in families. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Let's begin our study of Psalm 68 with some background notes. We see from the title of this psalm that it was written by David, and it is the fourth psalm in a row that has both the word psalm and song in the title. So this psalm, like the previous three psalms, was meant to be sung. Because it is a victory march song, something like our battle hymn of the Republic, it would be sung on the occasion of Israel's special celebrations of triumph. In fact, there is a good possibility that David composed this psalm for the occasion of bringing the Ark of the Covenant up to Jerusalem. So with this in mind, let's move now to our first doctrinal point. Doctrinal point number one. Psalm 68 celebrates the travel and arrival of the Ark of the Covenant. Psalm 68 celebrates the travel and arrival of the Ark of the Covenant. Verse 1 of Psalm 68 is almost certainly a reference to the words of Moses in Numbers chapter 10, verse 35, when the Ark set out from Mount Sinai with the children of Israel. Numbers 10, 35. So it was, whenever the Ark set out, that Moses said, "Rise up, O Lord, let your enemies be scattered, let those who hate you flee before you." Numbers chapter 10, verse 35. And now in verses 2 through 6 of the psalm, we see the enemies of the Lord being scattered before the Ark of the Covenant as it moves out with the children of Israel. The Lord is praised as a highway is cleared for him in the wilderness, as it were. He had led them out of the prison of Egypt, and now he was caring for them with love and justice in the wilderness. The tabernacle was his holy habitation in the midst of them. With the Lord, the wilderness was a home for them. Only for the rebellious was it a parched land. The rebellious never reached the promised land. Now, do you see all of these points in the first six verses of the psalm? Now, in verses 7 through 10, we see the Ark of the Covenant as it moves from Mount Sinai through the wilderness where God provided for his inheritance, that is, his people. Verses 7 through 10. O God, when you went out before your people, when you marched through the wilderness, Selah, the earth shook, the heavens also dropped rain at the presence of God. Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. You, O God, sent a plentiful rain, whereby you confirmed your inheritance when it was weary. Your congregation dwelt in it. You, O God, provided from your goodness for the poor. Remember the quaking of Mount Sinai in Exodus chapter 19? And remember how God provided for the children of Israel in the wilderness with water and manna and quail? Now in verses 11 through 14, we have the conquest of the land of Canaan and the victories of Israel during the times of the judges, verses 11 through 14. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those who proclaimed it. Kings of armies flee, they flee, and she who remains at home divides the spoil. Though you lie down among the sheepfolds, you will be like the wings of a dove covered with silver and her feathers with yellow gold. When the Almighty scattered kings in it, it was white as snow in Zalmon. Verses 11 and 12 remind us of the song of Deborah in Judges chapter 5. Verse 13 probably refers to the prosperity of Israel, enjoyed from the spoils of war, including silver and gold. God scattered the kings of Canaan like the wind-driven snow of Mount Zalmon near Shechem, verse 14. In verses 15 through 18, we have the capture of Jerusalem by David. In highly figurative language, the many-peaked mountain range of Bashan, that is, majestic Mount Hermon, looks with jealousy on Mount Zion of Jerusalem because the Lord had chosen this mountain for his dwelling place. Let's read verses 15 and 16. A mountain of God is the mountain of Bashan. A mountain of many peaks is the mountain of Bashan. Why do you fume with envy, you mountains of many peaks? This is the mountain which God desires to dwell in. Yes, the Lord will dwell in it forever. Verses 15 and 16. In verses 17 and 18, the march of God from Sinai to Zion is complete with the capture of Jerusalem. Verses 17 and 18. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of thousands. The Lord is among them as in Sinai, in the holy place. You have ascended on high. You have led captivity captive. You have received gifts among men, even from the rebellious, that the Lord might dwell there. Verses 17 and 18. It was the unseen chariots of God that brought victory and the gifts and spoils of victory. And the Lord is seen as ascending Mount Zion to dwell in the midst of his people in Jerusalem. Now in verses 19 through 23 of this victory song, the Lord is praised as both the deliverer of his people and the destroyer of his enemies. Verses 19 through 23. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation, Selah. Our God is the God of salvation, and to God the Lord belong escapes from death. But God will wound the head of his enemies, the hairy scalp of the one who still goes on in his trespasses. The Lord said, I will bring back from Bashan, I will bring them back from the depths of the sea, that your foot may crush them in blood, and the tongues of your dogs may have their portion from your enemies. Verses 19 through 23. Verse 22 is not a prophecy concerning the return of Israel, but a promise that the Lord would hunt down Israel's enemies. And now in verses 24 through 27, it seems that the actual procession of bringing the Ark of the Covenant up to Jerusalem is described. David may have written these verses on a separate occasion after the successful arrival of the Ark in Jerusalem. Let's read these verses. Verses 24 through 27. They have seen your procession, O God, the procession of my God, my King, into the sanctuary. The singers went before. The players on instruments followed after. Among them were the maidens playing timbrels. Bless God in the congregations, the Lord from the fountain of Israel. There is little Benjamin, their leader, the princes of Judah and their company, the princes of Zebulun and the princes of Naphtali. All the tribes of Israel, from north to south, join in the celebration. Psalm 68 celebrates the travel and arrival of the Ark of the Covenant. Doctrine point number two. Psalm 68 anticipates the ascension and second advent of the Lord of Glory. Psalm 68 anticipates the ascension and second advent of the Lord of Glory. The Apostle Paul quotes verse 18 of this psalm in Ephesians chapter 4 in reference to the ascension of Christ. I'm reading Ephesians 4, 8. Therefore he says, and now comes a quote from Psalm 68, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. So clearly Psalm 68 has prophetic and messianic implications. Now, it's been suggested that in the first part of Psalm 68, where we have the Ark of the Covenant during the time of the wilderness wanderings and then the conquest of the land, we have anticipated the Lord's earthly ministry and then his victory over the enemy at the cross. And then, from verse 18 on, we have anticipated the Lord's ascension, as we've seen, and then his second coming is anticipated, in the verses of praise that follow. Now let's read the final verses of praise in verses 28 through 35, and notice how these verses not only celebrate the arrival of the Ark of the Covenant in Jerusalem in David's day, but they anticipate the second advent of Christ when he will return to this earth and establish his kingdom of glory. Let's read verses 28 through 30. Your God has commanded your strength. Strengthen, O God, what you have done for us. Because of your temple at Jerusalem, kings will bring presents to you. Rebuke the beasts of the reeds, the herd of bulls with the calves of the peoples, till everyone submits himself with pieces of silver. Scatter the peoples who delight in war. In that day, when the Lord returns and establishes his earthly kingdom, there will be a literal temple in Jerusalem, and kings will bring gifts to the Lord. Verse 29. All foreign nations, represented as beasts in verse 30, will have been defeated, and instead the foreign nations will now sing praises and bring honor to the Lord. Verses 31 through 35. Let's read these final verses. Envoys will come out of Egypt. Ethiopia will quickly stretch out her hands to God. Sing to God, you kingdoms of the earth. Oh, sing praises to the Lord, Selah, to him who rides on the heaven of heavens, which were of old. Indeed, he sends out his voice, a mighty voice. Ascribe strength to God. His excellence is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds. O God, you are more awesome than your holy places. The God of Israel is he who gives strength and power to his people. Blessed be God. Psalm 68 anticipates the ascension and second advent of the Lord of glory. Now, what about practical application from Psalm 68? Let's use God's names in worship. Let's use God's names in worship. Unbelievers use God's name in vain. Believers should use God's names in worship. Notice I said names, plural. God has revealed himself by several names and combinations of those names. Here in Psalm 68, we have seven names of God woven into the fabric of this song of David. Elohim, the most frequent name for God in his greatness and majesty, is used in verse 1 and a total of 25 times in Psalm 68. Yahweh, or Jehovah, the name of God which expresses his eternal relationship to his people, is used at the end of verse 16. Yes, the Lord will dwell in it forever. And in verse 4, Yah is used, which is a contracted form or abbreviation of Yahweh or Jehovah. In verse 14, we have El Shaddai, meaning Almighty God. In verse 18, the combination of Yah and Elohim, or Lord God, is used. Adonai is used in verse 19, meaning Lord or Master. And in verse 20, we have the combination of Yahweh and Adonai, that is, God the Lord. Seven names of God used by David in Psalm 68. Let's use God's names in worship.